Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
The Mormon Channel, the official radio station of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Mormon Identities, a program about real Latter-day Saints as they live the restored gospel of Jesus Christ in the world today. The gospel shapes our identity and serves as a common thread in the other factors that help define who we are. We will explore these factors and discuss topics about our community and culture, scripture and doctrine, and life experiences and challenges. Mormon Identities, here on the Mormon Channel.
Welcome to Mormon Identities, a show about Latter-day Saints, who we are, what we believe, and how we live. I'm your host, Eric Huntsman, and today we have a special episode, Modern Day Pioneer Women. And with me in the studio is Nylan McBain. Sister McBain is a writer who specializes in religion and creative nonfiction. Her writings draw from her experience growing up as a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in New York City and then attending Yale University. She currently lives with her husband and three young daughters. In January 2010, Nylan launched the Mormon Women Project, a digital library of interviews with LDS women from around the world, in an effort to emphasize the many ways that modern faithful women choose the right. Nylan is also the author of a collection of personal essays, How to Be a 21st Century Pioneer Woman. And we're going to talk about both the Mormon Women Project, MWP, and How to Be a 21st Century Pioneer Woman in a moment. But I wanted to start with a quote from Elder Ballard and then ask Nylan to tell us a little bit about her own background. In April 2009 General Conference, Elder Ballard gave a talk called Learning the Lessons of the Past. Let's just hear a little bit from that.
When you're willing to listen and learn, some of life's most meaningful teachings come from those who have gone before you. They have walked where you're walking and have experienced many of the things you are experiencing. If you listen and respond to their counsel, they can help guide you toward choices that will be for your benefit and blessing and steer you away from decisions that can destroy you. As you look to your parents and others who have gone before you, you will find examples of faith, commitment, hard work, dedication, and sacrifice that you should strive to duplicate.
Nylan, kind of as an introduction to yourself, I thought I'd have you introduce your mother to us. Tell us a little bit about your mother and the path she plotted for you.
Well, the Mormon Women Project wouldn't be what it is today without the example of my mother. Like so many mothers, she really shaped me, and she did that in a very specific way, which was through her example as a working mother. She was an opera singer at the Metropolitan Opera for 18 years, all 18 years that I was growing up at home in our two-bedroom New York City apartment. And she was, on paper, not the ideal Mormon woman. She did not have a temple marriage. She had one child, and she had this international career. But she was also celebrated by our local congregation and also general church leaders throughout the world for her extraordinary ability to convey the spirit through her talent. Mm-hmm. And as her accompanist in residence, I was a pianist myself, she and I had the opportunity to go around and give firesides to groups of women, women's conference, venues like that. And I saw through that example the potential that lies in exploring your personal spiritual identity. She had what were considered in our culture to be hurdles put in her path, the lack of opportunity for a temple marriage, the lack of opportunity for more children. And yet she found this incredible alternate opportunity, which was equally celebrated within the church culture and which she felt was divinely appointed for her. And it was that confidence that I saw in her growing up and that willingness to go where the Lord wanted her to go and explore the limitless potential that she had within her, both as a member of the church and also as a woman, and thirdly, as a performer, that gave me this sense that our identity as Mormon women does not need to be defined from the outside. It needs to be something that we come to as a conclusion with our relationship with Heavenly Father.
Well, I think she is a wonderful example of what Elder Bowder was talking about, when we can learn from those who come before us. And so often when we talk about people who pioneer, who kind of forge the way for us, we always go back to the 19th century. But they can be people in our own lives. And she set that example. Now, you mentioned that her identity as a Mormon woman was really defined by her faith and her testimony, not by what other people said or thought about her. And as I was reading some of what you've written about your mother, you actually mentioned that some people judged her rather harshly. They assumed she only had one child by choice. Do you mind saying a few things about that?
Yes, it was not by choice. It was a painful journey that she went through, and she was very hurt, in fact, more hurt than any other comment about her career, when people assumed that she had given up children for this opportunity. It's interesting to ponder in this day and age, you know, 30 years later, with all the fertility treatments available, would my mother have had the career that she had, and what good would have been lost if she hadn't had, you know, that opportunity to sing for presidents, to sing for prophets, mm-hmm. to be a representative of the church in this sort of cultural temple, as the Met likes to consider itself. I mean, today there are probably a dozen Latter-day Saint singers who regularly appear on the Met stage. But in that time, it was very unusual.
She was a pioneer.
She was a pioneer. And as you said, I think rhetorically, when we say the word pioneer, our minds automatically go back in history to people who explored new physical territory, or we talk about in science, they're pioneers in science. And I think with her example growing up, I always identified a pioneer as someone who simply asks what is possible. You know, what is my potential? What is the territory philosophically or spiritually that I have to cover? And, you know, also with any other sort of pioneer, with physical pioneers, scientific pioneers, philosophical pioneers, they're always building on a groundwork of even those pioneers that came before them, right? They're building on rules. They're building on structure. And she was building on the structure of her faith. And the pioneer women that we like to study in the Mormon Women Project are also building on foundations of faith and structure. They're not just going out there and sort of, you know, willy-nilly exploring what is possible. They're pioneering in the sense that they're building on something that exists, and they're just pushing those exploring those boundaries.
Well, and importantly, she imparted that faith to you. So before we move on and talk a little bit more about the Mormon Women Project, the MWP, let's talk a little bit about how she helped you be a Latter-day Saint young woman and then woman in New York City. That's not growing up on the Wasatch Front. What was it like growing up in New York?
I absolutely loved growing up in New York. I think a good part of my testimony did come from my mother's example, but a good part of my testimony came simply from my experience with the city. New York City is a place of a place where anything goes, really. You know, I loved being different from everybody else, but it wasn't, in some ways, you were just the same as everybody else for having this strange thing that you believed. And I loved that feeling of being one with the community because we were all so wacky, and then also being alone and separate and standing apart because of my beliefs. And I think that there are a number of elements, a number of aspects of New York City that contribute to building anyone's testimony, this idea that you can see God's children at work, serving each other, coming into contact with each other in a very close, tight relationship. You have to be respectful of other people's spaces, of their mental states, you know, when you're walking down the street. And you're just much more fully aware of the challenges that are going on in people's lives because you're interacting with them physically in a much tighter space.
And you're seeing such a diversity in God's children.
Absolutely.
The different cultures and backgrounds and ethnicities and religions and non-religions,
yes,
as it were. And that,
yes,
must have strengthened your faith because you had to make a choice to be a believer, didn't you?
Yes. One of the things that I think is very interesting with the women that we study in the Mormon Women Project is looking at the women who are not from the United States in particular. And I feel like sometimes New York is its own country. So I feel like this applies. But the women who come from other countries tend not to carry any cultural baggage with them from, you know, their church experience. Sometimes they're living far apart from other members of the church. We just did an interview this week of a woman who lives in the Netherlands, and she lives 4 hours away from her closest branch. And so that idea of really standing apart is something that our international sisters experience profoundly. And I feel that in those interviews and with my experience growing up in New York, your reliance on the Savior and reliance on the doctrinal principles of the gospel rather than any sort of cultural or social tide pulling you through is what really gives you your foundation in the church.
Well, Nylan, let's talk a little bit more about this Mormon Women Project that you helped begin, and then let's bring in a couple of our other guests who work with you on it. What was your inspiration for starting a formal project to interview, to get stories, to collect them, to disseminate stories of women who are modern-day pioneers?
My motivation actually came from heartache, and it was the heartache I experienced when close friends decided that the church was no longer the place for them, and it was partly because they felt institutionally neglected and funneled into something that they didn't want to be. And from my personal experiences I've been explaining and from the experiences I've had living in San Francisco and Boston and New York again as an adult and going to Yale for college, I had this wonderful network of women who had simply strapped children to their backs and gone and explored, whatever exploring meant to them, exploring their potential, exploring a new city, exploring the possibilities of relationships. And I felt that I could do some good by sharing those examples with others. We have a rich heritage of women's stories in the past from our pioneer journals, but there's been a lull, and we need to now pick up that narrative of Mormon women in the modern church, in the contemporary church. And we need to tell those stories in a way that inspire other women to see that they don't have to be a certain way. There is no one perfect way.
You know, one of the things I'm interested in is because when we read pioneer journals, you hear women speaking in their own voice and they tell their own stories. And that's what intrigues me about the MWP, the Mormon Women's Project, is you're letting people tell their stories without other women saying this is right or that is wrong. Or one of the things I thought was interesting is you said that a lot of times it's people outside the church think Mormon women always have to be a certain way. If you don't mind, I'd just like to read something from the Mormon Women Project. It's kind of a self-description. The MWP is particularly interested in highlighting the righteous choices women make in all circumstances and locations. It celebrates women who have made deliberate choices with the help of the Spirit and personal revelation to overcome personal trials, magnify motherhood, contribute to communities outside their home, be converted to the gospel. And I kept thinking of the Proclamation of the Family where it says, you know, individual situations or circumstances sometimes require adaptation. And I think of the example of your mother. Her situation wasn't the typical situation of a Mormon woman, mother of seven in Salt Lake City.
Absolutely.
But she made those righteous choices. And so I think this MWP is just an exciting thing to have these stories out there for people. And I'm speaking as a man here. I'm kind of outnumbered. But, you know, I think of all the women in my life, my mother and my wife and my daughter and friends who have done so much to shape my testimony. And so I think it's really exciting what this MWP is doing. Well, thank you for listening to us today on the Mormon Channel. You are listening to an episode of Mormon Identities. I'm your host, Eric Huntsman, and we are listening to some guests talk about modern-day pioneer women. If you would like to listen to this whole episode or download it as a podcast, you can do so at mormonchannel.org. Nylan, you have some wonderful people who are working with you in the MWP, and I would like to introduce just two more of them and bring them into our conversation. One is Marintha Miles. She's joining us by phone from California. Marintha, hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Marintha grew up in Utah, but she currently lives in California, where she's the mother of four. She served her mission in Russia, and we're going to talk to her about this in a little bit, but she's had a chance to go back there with her husband, and so she's had a wonderful opportunity to talk to modern-day pioneers of the church in Russia. Also in studio with us is Lindsay Pizant-Wells, who is a writer, a public relations consultant, a mother, a dessert fanatic, and a Mormon who grew up in sunny Southern California and is trying to figure out how to live here in Utah where we don't have a spring. Anyway, Lindsay, thank you for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Marintha, tell us how you got involved with the MWP, the Mormon Women's Project. Did Nylan find you, or how did you get involved with it?
You know, I was reading a blog, and I just saw in the sidebar it was a link to the project when it was very first launching. And then when I was really excited about the project when I first saw it, it was really intriguing to me. And on the blog, on Mormon Women Project, there was a little note that said, if you would like to get involved, then contact Nylan. And so I did. I sent her an email and said I really wanted to get involved, and it went from there.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about one or two women that you've had the opportunity to interview and get to know, but I'm going to do the same thing to you that I did to Nylan, which is I'm going to make you kind of put yourself out there as a modern Mormon woman pioneer. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How do you see how the gospel shaped your identity as a Mormon woman?
My own life? You know, I grew up in Utah. I'm the oldest of 12 children. I'm a stay-at-home mom now. So I'm kind of the stereotype in a lot of ways.
So you're this very stereotypical kind of Mormon woman then.
Sort of, yeah. But I think that I don't know where I would be without the gospel in my life. I think about that a lot. I think it has shaped every aspect of my life. I don't feel like myself like I'm a pioneer, but I don't know. I guess maybe my children will think so someday.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what was your experience that shaped you? And it doesn't just have to be the fact that, you know, you grew up in the church or joined the church. What are those definitive experiences you've had who make you who you are today that shape your identity?
I think the best thing about being a member of the church and also developing my own testimony is that it's always kind of growing and evolving. In high school, you know, I had to kind of, growing up in California, take a stand for a lot of the things I believed in that set me apart from my classmates. And then I attended Brigham Young University, where I was surrounded by so many members of the church. But that was really kind of where I discovered for myself exactly what I really did believe. And kind of just going on from there, you know, becoming a mother myself and kind of learning a lot more about the gospel in my 20s. I feel like my testimony is always growing and evolving, and I can kind of see the way the Holy Ghost guides me as new opportunities come my way.
Let's go around the table and start with Marintha and have each of you tell us about one of the women whom you've met or been able to interview or whose stories you've gotten to know. Marintha, share with us a story that you felt inspiring.
I think one of the most inspiring is Galina Goncharova, and she's from Moscow. She's the first member baptized in the church in Moscow, Russia, and I've known her for many, many years. She was in my branch as a missionary, and then when I lived in Russia after I was married, she was again in my branch. But and her, she's been interviewed many, many times, but I really wanted to capture her story again. I think she's so inspiring, just her life, and she's definitely a pioneer as she joined the church. And, you know, she talked about a lot about how she's a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous in Russia, something that's very much needed there. And a lot of her story revolves around that and how she came to find the gospel through an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting after she met someone that was a member of the church there that had been working at the embassy. And I think just seeing the Lord work in her life and how Heavenly Father helped her find Alcoholics Anonymous and save her family, and then how that, even leading those meetings as she spread them and started more meetings around the Moscow region, helped her prepare to become one of the first Relief Society presidents in Moscow, where she sat around with the circle, in the circle at church with the sisters in the same way she sat around in the meetings and led meetings, was to work with the sisters that way.
Well, Marintha, I have to tell you, when you said she saved her family, I suddenly had an image of a handcart pioneer woman, you know, carrying babies, her husband's dead, and she's doing this. And this is so wonderful because it's a modern-day woman whose family really was in jeopardy. We all have heard about the kind of problems that they have in Russia with alcoholism, and she did something. She acted. She was inspired. And this is even before she's a member of the church. That must have been very inspiring to read about and hear.
Yeah, it was a really interesting story because even though I've known her for many years, I knew bits and pieces. I didn't know as much as she told me in that interview. And unfortunately, we can't possibly publish everything. Our interview lasted well over 2 hours long, but her story is an amazing story.
Oh, thank you so much. Lindsay, what's a story you would like to share?
I recently interviewed a sister in New Delhi, India. She is a teacher there, and she has two children. We actually conducted the full interview via email due to communication issues and time differences. But just getting to know her through her writing and kind of asking her questions about her background was so fascinating. There were a lot of differences between her and that I discovered right away. Of course, she lives on the other side of the world, and just hearing about her attending her small branch and being the first member of her family to join the church, it was so interesting to hear how different her life is from mine, but also how similar some of the things were. You know, she teaches primary on Sundays, and she's trying to raise her children and work and support her husband. And I felt like there was a definite kinship between she and I. Also, though, part of her story was that she joined the church before she was married and has raised her family in the gospel. And she has developed her testimony and made it so strong. When her third child was born, she was inspired to actually give that child up for adoption to family friends who were struggling with infertility and couldn't have a child of their own. And she gave that baby up for adoption when the baby was 8 months old. And when I interviewed her, my own baby was 8 months old, and I couldn't even imagine the sacrifice that must have been for her. So to just hear that, you know, after being raised without any type of religion, really, in her life, and then to come so far that her testimony was so strong that she could listen to those whisperings of the Spirit and go through with giving her child up to her friends, was just such an inspiration to me to just try to build my faith to be that strong as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Nylan?
Well, these are two of our most extraordinary interviews in terms of their exotic nature, and they are indeed incredibly inspiring. Some of my favorites have actually been ones that hit a little bit closer to home. And with the MWP, we really make an effort to celebrate everyday pioneers, as well as these women who are the first members in their entire countries or the first members in their families. And we've interviewed women who have joined the church from being a Jehovah's Witness, making that transition. I've also interviewed a woman who was a heroin addict and made the transition with the help of church social services into recovery once she joined the church. And we've also interviewed a huge number of women you sit next to at church every week right here in Utah who are doing incredible service either within their local communities or in a global community. We have women who have started orphanages in Guatemala. We have women who go over to Africa on a regular basis. And we also have women who have started educational software just to help promote computer literacy in third world countries. And they're also taking care of their communities. They're taking care of their local communities and their families. And so in light of these extraordinary pioneers over the seas, I think it's also important that we recognize, which we really try to do in the MWP, that there are pioneers sitting next to us every week at church.
Well, and that's how I would like to close our visit today, is to get feedback from all three of you about some things that both women and men who are listening to our program today can do to be pioneers in their own lives. Let's go back to Marintha and then ask Lindsay and then finally Nylan to share just a few things they think are important that we need to keep in mind to make ourselves pioneers, people our children can look up to share our stories, to make a difference, etc. Marintha, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, well, I think one of the pioneers for me is my own mother. She raised 12 children, and I think that is a huge fate in of itself. And I just, for me, just to be pioneers and to see the pioneerism, I guess, if that's a word, around us is just to see, to feel the Spirit and act upon it and receive revelation and the power that comes from acting on that personal revelation in our lives.
Thank you.
And I hope that that's what the Mormon Women Project is doing, that it's showing women and how that they take the Spirit in their own lives when they're praying and when they're going about their day, that they enact upon that little bits of revelation, what wonderful things and amazing things can happen from following the inspiration of the Spirit.
Well, thank you, Marintha. And let me say, as a man, that as a son and a husband, as a father, when I see women follow the Spirit, it just inspires me. Lindsay?
I think that personal revelation and faith just really plays into becoming a Latter-day pioneer no matter what your status in life is. It doesn't matter, you know, if where you're living or if you're married or how many children you have. As long as you are listening to the whisperings of the Spirit and trying to do what Heavenly Father wants for you, I think that you are able to be a pioneer in your own realm.
Nylan, I know this is unfair to ask you this question when you've written a whole book on being a 21st pioneer woman, but how can we advance the frontiers in our own lives and make a difference as faithful Latter-day Saints?
I think the key is really asking yourself and asking the Lord, as I said earlier, what is possible? And then not being afraid to explore that, not feeling limited for any reason, and to have the courage and to have the confidence to explore those possibilities using that groundwork of faith and commitment to the church that I mentioned earlier, also as the foundation of pioneering. I think that confidence in our ability to develop the sacred space that we've been given as women in the church is key. I had a conversation with a general authority's wife a couple of weeks ago, and she expressed concern when her husband was first called that she didn't have a job description, that she didn't have her days mapped out the way her husband did. And at first that was really disconcerting to her, and she thought, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? And she came to the conclusion, which I thought was very beautiful, that she was trusted with a sacred space to use as she best saw fit, and that it was up to her and up to the Lord to figure out how that time could be used productively. And I think that that's a great paradigm that we can all apply to each one of our lives. How can we use the sacred space that we've been given, this time on this earth, the opportunities, the talents, the huge range of opportunities we've been given at this time on earth as women, to magnify our potential as mothers and also as community servants, as servant leaders, and as contributors in our communities.
Well, and I've been stirred by the stories I've read from the Mormon Women's Project, from hearing your own stories, that as we keep Jesus Christ at the center of our life and use him as an example of serving and loving and caring and giving, the sacred space you talk about, Nylan, it just, you don't even have to think about it. The Spirit just directs you. So thank you, Lindsay and Marintha and Nylan, for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for this episode about modern-day pioneer women. You've been listening to Mormon Identities, a show about Latter-day Saints, who we are, what we believe, and how we live. Until next time, remember, today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
You've been listening to Mormon Identities here on the Mormon Channel. To download or podcast this episode, please click on our homepage, radio.lds.org.
The Mormon Channel, the official radio station of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.